Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
There is a story that is found in the Old Testament. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 17, and it is the story of a widow and of her son who were facing starvation. They were facing starvation in the face of a drought and of a great famine that had overtaken the land. They were facing the judgment of God, which had come upon the people in the land of Israel. And the Lord told that woman, that a prophet by the name of Elijah, would visit her. And that she should feed him with the little that she had. Though she had only enough flour and oil for one more meal for her and for her son, she did as the Lord had instructed her. And after she had provided that food for that prophet, we are told that the bowl in which there was flour and the jar in which there was oil was never empty while there was that famine in the land. They miraculously had more than enough to eat. And a short time later, when her son became sick and he died, we are told that the prophet Elijah prayed to the Lord, and her son was raised up back to life again. Certainly an unbelievable and an incredible story, isn't it? But it is a story that illustrates how the obedience of that woman resulted in great blessing for her, for her son, yes, and even for that prophet. And the point for us is this. This story speaks of obedience. Obedience to the word of God. Obedience that will result in great blessing from him. And as we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that is the point that the Apostle Paul brings before the people in the church in the city of Corinth. God's ways are not our ways, as that widow found out. And what we give to others will return to us in unbelievable and even in indescribable ways, even beyond all of our expectations. So at the end of chapter 8, Paul encourages those believers in Corinth to publicly bring glory to Christ by demonstrating their obedience to him. How? By demonstrating their love for the believers in the city of Jerusalem, by giving their financial support to those brothers and sisters in Christ who were struggling to survive under the weight of extreme poverty and of famine. But Paul is quick to add in verse 1 of chapter 9, it is superfluous for me, peresas in Greek. It is perhaps a bit excessive of me to write to you about this ministry of giving. Giving to the saints in Jerusalem, for I know your readiness. Prothumia in Greek. I know your eagerness. I know your willingness to give. A willingness of which I boast about to the Macedonians, to the churches in northern Greece, to those believers in the city of Berea and in Philippi and in Thessalonica. Namely, that those believers in the cities of the province of Achaia, which is in southern Greece, where Corinth was located, they and you have been prepared since last year to send this financial support to the believers in Jerusalem. And your zeal, Paul says, your fervency in this matter has stirred up the hearts of most of them in Macedonia and even in Achaia. You have prompted them to act, to give to this effort. You've led the way. You've inspired them by the example of your giving. But for some reason, Paul adds in verse 3, you have not yet completed what you set out to do before the Lord, which is why I have sent those three brothers in Christ. We learned last week those brothers were Titus and two unnamed brothers. I have sent them to you so that our boasting about you may not be made empty. Kenao in Greek. So that it would not prove to be of no value. So that you wouldn't come up empty in this case. Because the way to blessing is to give. To give of ourselves. To give of our resources. As we're told in Proverbs 11:24, there is one who scatters, yet it increases all the more. And then there is one who withholds what is justly due, and it results only in want, which is, I suppose, the opposite of the way that the world thinks, isn't it? Paul reminds them in verse 3, just as I was saying, I want you to be prepared with this collection of funds. Otherwise, if any of the Macedonians come with me to see you in Corinth, and we are told in Acts chapter 20 that they did come with Paul. Paul brought Sopater from Berea and Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica. And if they find you unprepared without this generous gift, we will be greatly disappointed and a little embarrassed. He says, not to speak of you, who will be put to shame. Katasguno. In Greek, you will be humiliated by this misplaced confidence and this trust that we had in you, that we spoke about concerning you. So he says in verse 5, I thought that it was necessary, anankaios in Greek. This was a pressing matter that was weighing heavily on my heart. And so I took it upon myself to urge the brothers, parakaleo, to appeal to them that they should take it upon themselves to go on ahead to see you and to arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, that this gift might be ready as truly a bountiful gift. And that it would not be affected and influenced by covetousness, pleonexia in Greek, that it would not be withheld because of your selfishness, withheld because of greed, withheld perhaps because of pressing issues, or covetousness comes from the heart of those who do not know Christ we're told in Ephesians chapter 5. And greed is the same as idolatry, it says in Colossians chapter 3. So now, Paul points out in verse 6, this I say to you with all confidence, that what is true in agriculture is also true in life, that he who sows seed sparingly, phidemenos in Greek, withholding seed while planting, will naturally also reap sparingly. And that certainly is an obvious fact, isn't it? But he who sows bountifully, eulogia in Greek, in abundance, with the blessing of God, well, that person will also reap bountifully in an abundant harvest, a blessing. So, the more we sow, the more that God will return to us in the blessing of a harvest. I suppose every farmer knows that. So in the same way, the more that we give to the Lord, the more that we give for his kingdom, the more that we give for his glory, the more that we will reap in a harvest of blessing from God. So, something to think about, isn't it? Paul points out to them, and he points out to us as well in verse 7. So let each one of you do just as he has purposed in his heart. Praireo in Greek. Do according to what you have determined in your mind. What you have determined in your spirit before the Lord. What you have determined to be right before him. We are to give with a clear conscience and not grudgingly, Paul says, lupe in Greek, not in sorrow, not as if we are in pain, not with an attitude of regret or reluctance, or he says, even under compulsion, ananke in Greek, under pressure, pressure from those around us. For God, Paul points out, loves a cheerful giver, hilaras in Greek, one who overflows with joy because of the privilege of giving to the Lord. God has a special affection for those who give like that. We're just told that he loves them in a special way. He has freely, he has abundantly given to us. And so he desires for that attitude and for that mindset to be reflected in his children. And so God will bless those who give like that from their heart. And he is able, it says, he's able to make all grace, all power, he's able to make all blessing abound, overflow to us when we give like that. He gives more and more, and there is no limit to the blessing that he will pour out upon us, so that we will always have all sufficiency, it says in verse 8. Autarkia in Greek. We will have contentment. We will have peace in our heart, in everything, so that we might have an abundance, he says. But not an abundance to be consumed on ourselves. Paul says, so that we might be able to give back to him in every good deed we do, so that we might bless others as he has blessed us. As it is written in Psalm 112, verse 9, he who is generous scatters abroad to others. He gives to the poor. And so his righteousness in Christ will abide and will remain forever, now and in eternity. God will uphold us here and forever. As it also says in Isaiah 55:10, he who supplies seed to the sower and he who supplies bread for food is the same God who will supply and who will multiply your seed, your resources for sowing, and he will increase the harvest of your righteousness in Christ. Unique concept, isn't it? We are reminded of this in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, where it says, sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. And so Paul says in verse 11, if you will follow this instruction, then you will be enriched in everything, for all liberality, for the purpose of generosity in your giving to others, which through us, Paul says, is producing thanksgiving to God for you. We thank God for you, for the ministry of this service to God, because your generosity is not only supplying the needs of the saints in Jerusalem, but your gift is overflowing in prayer with many thanksgivings to God by those in Jerusalem and by us. Because of the proof, the evidence that is being given by this ministry of giving. He says your giving is evidence. They will glorify God for your obedience to the faith. Your giving is evidence that your confession of the gospel of Christ is genuine. And so they will praise God for your liberality of the contribution to them and to all, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn and long for you, for your well-being, for your spiritual health, because of surpassing grace, the blessing of God in you. Did you catch that? Their love for you, their prayers for you are your reward in Christ, your reward for giving to them. And remember, Paul says, God is at work in those of us who belong to him. So giving generously makes us a little more like him. Because God the Father freely gave his Son as a sacrifice for our sin. Shouldn't that inspire us to give? Shouldn't that inspire all of our giving? Shouldn't that be the benchmark of our giving? Shouldn't that be the reason that we give? As we're told in Romans chapter 8, he did not spare his son, but he delivered him up to death for all of us. So Paul concludes in verse 15, thanks be to God for the indescribable gift of his son. Anek de getas. In Greek, a gift that is unbelievable, a gift that is indescribable, a gift that is so extraordinary that words fall far short to describe it adequately. A gift that is inexpressible. There are, in fact, no words that can truly describe it at all. The gift of the blessing of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.